this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Sorry for smiling there.
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from the other side of the pond.
From this side of the pond, sir. How we doing? How we doing? The American Red Devils are live from London, bringing you the last game of the season. We are going to the League One final as well tomorrow to see Sunderland till I die, see if they can finally win a final. But, sir, we're going to put a dagger in the heart of this horrible season. Case closed. Once and for all, we are on the scoop for new man Erik ten Hag. We're hanging outside his hotel looking for the bald fraud. How are we feeling?
He's a bald fraud already, according to you.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Not at all. The next man up, Erik ten Hag in London. We are in London looking for him. We're tapping every bald man on the shoulder, asking him who he's going to sign for Manchester United. Can he get it right? But hell of a trip. Flew from San Francisco, just landed, literally went on a run around Hyde Park, and then we're recording the podcast before we go meet up with a good friend of ours. So, you know, pod never sleeps. We're here doing it live from London.
From London, uncut. This is like the American Red Devils abroad. You forgot to mention we're getting haircuts. I'm getting the Harry Maguire, sir. We're gonna
You're getting the Harvey Barnes.
The Harvey Barnes, fade to get you laid. But it's great to be back in the UK. Last time we were here, it was the Red Wedding, the massacre at Old Trafford, sir. Again, the Scouse Bastards. There's a lot going on in England this weekend. Fans are running on the field, attacking coaches. There's gonna be a champion of the league figured out on Sunday. We're gonna find out if we're playing Conference League or regular Hansa Franz Europa League. So a lot of big stuff happening. And obviously someone's going to get relegated. So Burnley or Leeds are going to meet their fate. Everton, they escaped. They escaped relegation with a hair on their chinny chin chin. How are we feeling?
No, and it's been a little over 3 years since you and me were back on this side of the pond doing it right. I think the last game we saw was PSG versus Manchester United Champions League where we got bounced. But we did get to see the Fulham game where we absolutely destroyed them. Players that absolutely killed it in that game. Martial, Pogba, no more for Manchester United. What a 3 years. I also didn't have any kids. Now I have two. But we're glad to be back on the road. It's awesome to be in London. It's a great town. It's a great trip. We highly encourage all American Red Devils to make the jump across if you're thinking about it. Just because so much fun, and to be here when the title is decided is going to be great because obviously all the games play at the same time on Sunday, so we're going to be like checking our phones. I'm sure the away end, people are going to be shouting out the scores. It's going to be an absolute riot. But before we get into all of that, we got to be talking about the flight. We had our absolutely horrible flight.
You did.
Alex and I sat. I had the aisle. He had the window, and we had a lady, I will say.
A lady.
a lady in the middle seat who did not sleep at all and was just like elbowing both of us, like doing a lot of snacking, not very courteous. So like I literally have not slept. I like got maybe an hour of sleep on the flight. So I'm absolutely rambling here on the pod. But when you're making that trip and it's like the red eye to London, sleep is critical on the flight. Alex was snoozing in the window. But what do we have to say about the person in the middle seat? I got to rate her like a D minus.
Sir, it was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Tale of two cities.
I mean, fired up.
You I think you had an experience. I didn't get up the whole flight. I probably slept 10 hours. I'm not saying I feel great, but I probably feel better than you do.
Yeah, but you felt like a little Jocelyn. Her pillow was like,
oh, she jostled. Yes, sir, but you know, welcome back to travel. And this guy hasn't flown have you flown in 3 years?
You know, it's like, act like you've been there before. You know, there's like etiquette here as far as the middle seat goes. You can't be like elbows out, middle seat, like knocking the guy's sleeping and waking him up.
Get it out.
I think that's the recap on it, how we got here.
We both had different experiences on the flight. Mine was okay. Yours was bad. D minus.
Just went for a run, Hyde Park. It's amazing. Weather's great in London. Sun was out. It's like 65 degrees. When you can catch England when it's not raining, it's great.
What a joy.
Some rumors, some things to talk about. Jurrien Timber, obviously everyone singing that song. He's rumored to be going to Manchester United. I think his agent posted some photos to social media. I've watched some highlight reels with the emo techno music. Plays right back, plays center back. Ten Hag apparently wants him and obviously is here. What do you make of these rumors? Are you excited about Timber being the first signing for Erik ten Hag?
You know, this is going to be a long project, and nothing is going to be solved this summer. But that being said, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day, and we certainly need to strengthen the back. So if there was a player that was going to be taken from Ajax, I would imagine, you know, one of the deals is like we had a kind of a friendly negotiation with Ajax front office on getting Erik ten Hag out, but it was like, you cannot raid our team and steal all our players. You can maybe get one. If this is the one player that Erik wants, then that's the player I want. We need a center back. He's versatile. He's not a big lad. He's like 5'9", but he's quick as shit. He's physical. He's got good athleticism. And apparently he's very, very, what's the right word, sir? I'm having a brain fart. He's dexterous. No, he's like, he doesn't get injured a lot. What's that mean?
Durable,
which is what we need, what you need in the Premier League.
Reliable.
And we need center backs. And the fee we were being quoted, I heard, is £35 million. That's a reasonable fee. That's less than we paid for our right back.
It's pricey.
That's not pricey.
It's pricey.
That's not pricey in 2022.
You paid
for a 20-year-old, a 20-year-old center back.
We paid more for Wan-Bissaka, for the record.
That's what I'm saying. We paid more for Wan-Bissaka than this center back. So I like buying from other leagues. I think the whole buy-in English, buy-in from the EPL. Sir, I'm excited about Timber if they can get him in, but a lot more. We need much more than that. We need to get players out. But, sir, tell me how much you dislike the signing. We're going down. I'm yelling, Timber.
I'm good.
My wife wanted to know why I was singing that song.
No, I'm good on that whole song rendition for this signing. Look, interesting. Not the first center back in Europe I would pick to come into the Premier League to fix our back line. I like the versatility. That's good. £35 million isn't necessarily cheap, but, you know, I've watched his highlight videos. He's like a hustler. He's small, though. I think that's really my biggest issue. So as right back, it'd be a different conversation. As center back, unclear. And a lot of the way he plays, you know, I think the way the Dutch league is called is a little different. A lot of the highlights I saw would have been fouls in the Premier League. So the jury's out here. It's one of those things where we signed Memphis Depay. You were all jazzed. I think you bet me that he would score 15 goals his first season. I told you he'd be a bust.
You got a Schneiderlin jersey.
Just calm down.
This guy.
He was EPL proven. The whole point is coming from the Dutch league to where the big boy shorts in the EPL is a little different. So as far as Timber, I'm not going to poo-poo it. Just some questions. Is that the guy? If you only get one center back, is he the guy? And so I don't know those conversations behind the scenes. But segueing into the next piece of news, apparently Harry Maguire, his future could be in doubt. We already know Aaron Wan-Bissaka is on the chopping block. Ten Hag just basically say, no bueno, I'm good, as far as Aaron Wan-Bissaka is concerned. So Harry Maguire might be going down that route if Ten Hag brings in Timber. That is apparently a rumor from the Daily Mail.
Well, there's a lot of players that are kind of, their names are being swirled around the exodus. Aaron Wan-Bissaka is one you mentioned. Phil Jones has basically been confirmed he's going to be pushed out. He's looking to make a move as well. So, like, all of a, not that Jones
Martial
is filling anyone's spot. Martial, of course, but I'm just talking on the back line. Timber has versatility, so he can play as a center back. He can play as right back. So you could buy another center back. I think if we can get some money out of Harry, you'd want to buy another one.
Yeah,
but I don't disagree with what you said. It's like, but at the end of the day, Glazer's out, brother. We're in England. Let's not forget it. Glazer's out because we're going to have a limited budget. So part of this is like, what can I get based on what else I need to get for this team with $120 million or whatever the actual budget is for the summer? So if he was said, like, you got $250 million, you can buy Timber and another center back, or maybe you can just buy a £70 million center back, maybe he wouldn't do that. So you have to keep in the budget in mind. But that being said, you make a good point. The Dutch league step up is a big step up. It's not easy. It takes some players years, or they don't do it at all.
It's a season, minimum.
Minimum, especially for a center back. But he's young. You could think he's got upside, but I don't disagree.
You need the plug and play. We need plug and play. We need plug and play midfielders. We need plug and play center backs. Like if you sign Timber as an addition to someone who can start tomorrow with Veron or Lindelof, because Veron, you can't bank on him starting all the time because of injury records. Then you assume Lindelof's the starting guy. If you're getting rid of Maguire, you need someone to start week in, week out. And, you know, it's an order of operations for me. It just seems early in the process. But, hey, if it was already a done deal, Ten Hag likes him and is going to bring him, I'm not going to argue. Welcome to Manchester United as far as I'm concerned. Harry Maguire, he's going to stay, in my opinion. These rumors are kind of bogus. No one's going to pay nothing for him. I mean, like...
Like, no one's gonna pay nothing for it. You get no 50.
Whole city for like six and a half million pounds. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Next bit of news here: there are gonna be no player of the year awards for Manchester United. The players are so embarrassed about how bad the season went that they do not want to have the awards. They will still be given out. Who is your player of the season?
I want to just comment on the fact that, like, this feels like the first thing that wasn't tone deaf by the players all year. Like, they actually figured out to read the room after all the shitty Instagram posts and dumb tweets about, oh, we could have done better. Oh, we let the fans down. Like, this is the smart move. Don't have some stupid event where you all wear tuxedos and act like you had a good year. But that being said, player of the season, who else? CR7, bro. There's only one player that should really get it. De Gea did decent at the beginning of the season, kept us in some games, but really, there's only one player of this year, and it's Cristiano Ronaldo. 18 goals in the Premier League, third highest goal scorer in the league. Hopefully he gets to 20 at Selhurst with a brace, or I'd love to see that. But dude, leader from the front, he's a complete player, ageless, unbelievable. I'm a huge fan. So, you know, I came into the season being like, he's your guy. He's our guy, bro. A big Ronaldo guy.
Wow. I thought I'd never hear it on the podcast. Player of the season awards. I think this is tradition, you know, Sir Matt Busby trophy. I mean, like, I like the history of the awards. I think it's, as far as Manchester United celebrates our history, as well as the youth. I think the youth player of the year as well is huge. So I kind of think they should have had it. I'm not against. I just think there's so many players that are going to leave. It might be awkward, but at the end of the day, like, wear a tuxedo, get Ronaldo dressed up, celebrate him. You know, you schmooze Ronaldo, maybe he'll want to stay. I mean, he got to feed the ego of Ronaldo. So it's really just like a Ronaldo celebration. Give him as many awards as you can. Invite Ryan Giggs, invite Louis Van Gaal, have him slap Giggs around after a few cocktails. Everyone's going to have a blast. Like, why not do it?
I'd love to have a few cocktails with Louis Van Gaal and his army. It's a good point, but I also like, it's a really, think about this season. This season's kind of like a lame duck year.
We finished seventh and we had it.
I agree, but we have an interim manager, and like you said, at least 10 players are leaving, like Paul Pogba, like the don't give no shit Lingard.
Yeah,
you have all these players around.
Yeah,
the best slow trot in the team. So I actually think it's a good move. It's like, let's cancel this year because we don't have a real coach right now. Like, they're not treating Ralph like a real coach. So next year, we'll have time to celebrate.
You need to juice the ego of Ronaldo.
Maybe you just have a celebration just for Ronaldo. Like, throw him a party. Because speaking of ego, Erik ten Hag has been speaking to the pressers, right? He started his job full-time, won the league last week, and started the job in earnest on Monday, flew to London. He spoke very, very highly, very, very highly of Ronaldo. He's trying to butter him up. He's trying to keep him happy, sir, as he should, because I think he'd be a big part of helping kind of kickstart the restart and keep some of those young players motivated around what a role model looks like in football.
Absolutely, and I hope to see Ronaldo. I've seen Ronaldo play a bunch in person. My first Manchester United game was 09-10. He was gone, although I did see us beat the Scouse Bastards, which was a great year, great kit, Nike kit, love it. Unfortunately, I never saw Ronaldo play for Manchester United, and, you know, Crystal Palace is my opportunity, and as a huge Ronaldo fan, you know, I'm here. Crystal Palace is, what, 2 days away? And I'm just waiting for the team news. Who's staying in the hotel? CR7 going to be there? I think he's a nut job. He's going to go for the records. Rangnick has to play him. But you know what? In the back of my mind, I'm down it a little bit, a little nervous. You know, you come all this way. You hope to see him.
Sir, I came all this way. I saw him. I saw him lose 5-0.
Still.
That being said, first game I ever went to, CR7 scored a brace, bro. 4-0 Wigan. I'd love to see a brace tonight. It's in 2 days from now. And I'd love to see Ronaldo in a season that's been such a disappointment get the 20 goals in the Premier League. That would be so awesome. Because he should be at 20 already. Like, he should have gotten so much more service. We've been shit. But let's end on a high at least, and let's not play Conference League. I don't even know who you play in Conference League.
Yeah, I don't even know what Conference League is. Then also, you got to mention it on the pod since the last one we had. Arsenal just like bottled it. They like lost to Newcastle. Spectacular 2-0. Fashion. Arteta like in tears. Top four gone. Like they literally. We called them the bottlers of the bottlers. This is one of those things where I'd much rather be, it makes me feel a lot better finishing where we are. Because at the end of the day, Arsenal thought they had it and they just blew it. And so now all the Arsenal fans, it's worse to be Arsenal right now than it is to be Manchester United. Manchester United, you've just been miserable the whole way. Arsenal are like pumped, they're making top four, they're bragging about it, and then they just lost it at the last minute. That's got to be worse. If you had to pick either way, that's worse. Like, we were never in it. They had it in their 4-point lead, three games to go.
And this is one of their best seasons in a while. Like, this is one of our worst seasons in a long time. So it's always better to be a Manchester United fan than an Arsenal fan. It's especially fun to watch them just blow up. And it's even more comforting because they're only really, like, two teams ahead of us. Three, Chelsea's on the rocks. You know, we'll see what happens with the new buyers. But, like, if we can get our shit together... You know, we're already better than Arsenal. We coaching, we need some organization, we need a team that actually gives a shit, but like we're going to be ahead of them much sooner than some of the other teams that you have to worry about up front. So we can all laugh at Arsenal. Hopefully Spurs does the job. They don't bottle it because, you know, it still could happen. 2-point difference right now headed into the final game week of the season.
So you remember the argument we had on the podcast about Antonio Conte coming to Manchester United. I think he was the choice for Manchester United.
I don't agree.
If he could make top four with that team, you have to say, first of all, you can't disagree here. I'm talking to you, the American Red Devils fans, right now, because Alex is just going to just...
No, we're going to have a debate. You go first.
Ralf Rangnick did not perform well. Conte came to Tottenham. He did have the low moment. I think Rangnick had the similar low moment, but he was able to get the players out of it and start performing. I think Conte got more out of less than Rangnick got out of United. Now, you could say United is much worse, but I think Conte was the type of manager who could have come into United and got us performing. That is the type of guy he is. If you look at our roster, we have a win now roster, and we have a plan for the next 10-year interim manager when we probably should just... What's the worst case scenario? You still get Ten Hag. If Conte blows it up and it's horrible, you finish
you
like ninth.
No. May I finish? You finish first. I'll interject.
No, because at the end of the day, the manager situation would have been, the candidates would have been what they were. It's not like Rangnick found Ten Hag like a diamond in the rough out of nowhere, right? So you would have had the similar candidates. The decision would have been made, but you would have had Conte with a shot at it. And he did. You have to give hats off to Antonio Conte for getting top four with Tottenham. Like, that's a great achievement. And Rangnick didn't handle the situation that well, the locker room situation. Conte's a big personality, and he probably had a better chance of ironing it out, given he actually managed a bunch of teams within the last 10 years, and Rangnick didn't.
Sir,
it was a word decision.
I don't disagree with a lot of what you just say, but here's the thing. He would have been a better manager for this season to get the most out of this season.
Yes.
I think long-term play, Ralf Rangnick was a stopgap. They don't even give a shit about Ralf Rangnick, unfortunately. Erik ten Hag is a long-term builder. He's not as volatile. I do agree. We would have finished better. He showed his worth as a coach, bro. He got a lot of that Spurs side. Rangnick is made for the front office. But we need a long-term rebuild. And unfortunately, like, I don't think we want another Conte, which is basically another Jose Mourinho. And it's going to be too volatile for a board that's fucking shit. We have a terrible board. We need someone that's going to be patient. It's not going to get frustrated. It's going to be able to use the tools he has internally without just buying a lot of players. So I do think we would have gotten more this year. We would not be finishing seventh or sixth.
We would have more sorted out. So
but he'd be your manager. It would not be Erik ten Hag next year. It'd be Antonio Conte next year.
So I guess my point is you can look at the different teams that we're competing with. Or you have Tottenham, Arsenal, and then us right now. It's sad, but it's just the way it is. You have Conte, who sorted a bunch of bullshit out with Tottenham, and then now they can actually go spend money and like kind of build on what he sorted out this season. Then you have Arsenal that's like in the Ole, just like wandering out of nowhere, buying players and have no idea what they're doing. Like, that's what we were under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And then us is just like, we were so bad. that the problem is still so huge that you actually don't know if Ten Hag is going to be able to address it, because so 10 players in and out, all these personalities, all the drama, etc. I think Conte would have sorted out a bunch of the bullshit this season. So then, unfortunately, he would be your manager, but I think we would probably be in a better place now than we are with Rangnick, because I think Rangnick kind of didn't really grab the bull by the horns, and he kind of just aired the dirty laundry out in the press versus like actually fixing the problem. He, at a certain point, he kind of was going through the motions. The team was going through the motions. I don't think Conte would have done that with Manchester United.
Well, Conte would not have accepted an interim manager job. He would have accepted a long-term manager job.
So Huber
Ralf
manager
Rangnick
year,
was appointed as a substitute teacher, given no power, and so the players gave him no respect. So you saw that. They weren't running for him. They weren't listening to him. So I do agree. It was like appoint a permanent manager in November when they finally fucking made a decision, or wait until, when do they appoint fucking Erik ten Hag? 2 weeks ago in May? So it's like, I agree. If you appoint an actual manager, then an actual manager is going to get managerial results by like having the power.
Yes.
To be like,
exactly.
Harry Maguire is not captain material. You're out. Like, he wasn't allowed to do that because he was interim working under Darren Fletcher.
He had
like
6 months,
shouting over
though.
His shoulder, bro.
My point is, and if I was running Manchester United, like, I probably wouldn't have liked Conte, but I would have brought him in because you have 6 months and he can make you top four, and that's $100 million, and certain players will play for you with Champions League. Like, Darwin Nunez, we heard, doesn't want to play for us because we're not in Champions League. Maybe Frankie Dejean, that's a problem as well. So the move to the interim guy who hasn't coached in 10 years was an interesting one. We did get Ten Hag. Let's hope it works out. That's kind of where we're at.
That's it, bro.
As far as the title race goes, holy shit, this is nervy. I mean, like, oh, Southampton almost held Liverpool. I just feel like everything's bouncing their way. This one makes me nervous. It makes me very nervous. I think City's a bunch of, you know what, like they're a bunch of pussies. Like, I just don't think they feel like they're City's nervous. I think it's good. I don't know. It's like you look at the stars, sir. You go to William Hill. I bet Scouse Bouches will win the title. You know, just as a hedge. Ugh. You bet him to win.
Yeah, you bet him
just
as a
so
financial
when
hedge.
They do, you and me have some free dark ales. Yeah, because at the end of the day, you look at all the things that are bouncing their way, everything that is going their way, and it's like how it's like almost like, it's horrible.
City has the lead.
The quad is
It's City's to bottle, and they already
the Morris penalty.
They already bottled the Champions League.
The Mahrez penalty?
They already bottled the Champions League.
They had a penalty.
They have advantage. If he bottles this, Pep's going to need another striker. He's going to need a second Erling Haaland. I do agree, but like I'm not as worried. I'm not worried. It's just I think I'm more confident in City. Like, Jesus Christ, you can't win at home against Aston fucking Villa. Like,
no,
DBG.
But Mahrez had the penalty, bottled it.
I remember.
And the Scouts Bashers.
Because they wanted to keep it tight. They wanted to keep it tight. So the last game of the season, you know, it's like all up in the air. We're gonna be in the stand at Selhurst.
I'll tell you what.
Everyone's going to be talking about the other games that aren't being played in South London.
Absolutely sick to my stomach. All right, let's get into the trip preview. We went over on the last podcast. We're going to get the proper English footballer haircuts. Alex is getting the Harvey Barnes. Or the Harry Kane. He hasn't decided which one he's going to get. But, you know, proper English fade. I think we have to do it right here as the American Red Devils. Going to be up with a good buddy of ours tonight. And then we're off to actually Stamford Bridge tomorrow morning to visit the memorial of our friend. We actually put together a memorial plaque that got put on the wall at Stamford Bridge for our friend, the Chelsea fan, if you listen to this podcast. Going to go visit that, pay our respects to our great friend. And then it's going to be on to the League One Championship. That's going to be a riot. Sunderland versus a bunch of people told me how to say it, but I was saying Wycombe, but I think it's Wycombe. I don't know.
Wycombe?
Yeah. Sir. I don't know. Comes to League One
teams.
We'll
ask someone tomorrow. We'll ask one of the Wycombe fans.
It comes to League One teams. It's not my forte. If they get in the championship, I'll brush up my pronunciation. And then Sunday, we're doing the Hackney Half Marathon, which will be a riot. We've been training for it. You know, do a run in the morning, hit the Crystal Palace match in the afternoon. But we have to just talk briefly. You got to tell the American Red Devils, you went to Selhurst Park once. Manchester United versus Crystal Palace away.
Classic.
You had a great time.
Jose Mourinho.
You went with your – this was like a – before you got married, your father-in-law says, "Hey, Alex, like
big London guy, big London guy,
loves London. Let's go to London together. Let's go to a match."
That was my idea.
Yeah, so you went to the match with him. That was the Matic comeback. You started lunch with, I think you had oysters and champagne. How did it go?
I'm a grunter. I enjoy a meal or two. And so tell my father-in-law, he's a big London guy. He always traveled to London. They lived in Paris for a while. They always come to London. And, you know, he wanted to do a boys' London trip. I said, Peter, we can do that, but the only way we do that is if we're going to United games. So we found a weekend. We got tickets from the tout away at Selhurst Park, sir. He's a light eater. We had a light lunch, and then we went, and I went up and met up with, like, the Reds at the fucking away bar, and it was Rowdy Piper, and I got a little too fired up, and don't remember most of the first half. Came to as we started chipping away their lead, sir. Chris Smalling, he got a goal. Big Luke, he got a goal. And then finally, Nemanja Matic with a banger outside the box. The Reds in the away stands were in fine voice. I almost, like, cracked my skull trying to get Nemanja Matic's jersey as he threw it into the stands. And you know what? I'm glad I remember the last goal because it was a hell of a goal.
Look, away days are not for everyone.
It's a different game.
I'll tell you, one of the funniest things about it was Alex is going on this trip alone, and obviously, we're doing the pod, so I'm like, hey, can you record some audio of the away fans singing? And so, like, we haven't done the away American Red Devils Abroad in a while, but we're going to record audio of the fans singing at the game. We'll play it on the pod. And so Alex, he was, like, so fired up that he, like, recorded some clips but, like, couldn't figure it out. And then so he sent me what he recorded, and it was, like, literally all you hear is, like, these guys, like, talking about Alex. And then they're like, hey, look at this guy. First game over here. Look at this guy. He's, like, sleeping.
Keeping an eye on
so
me.
So basically you're like half asleep with your phone recording audio of, like, other fans, like, making fun of you, being like, look at this guy. First game over here.
I would expect nothing else from the Manchester United away support. They kept a good eye on me. Rallied at halftime, sir, and as did United, rallied in the second half.
Hey, all is good. I mean, like, what a game. What a legend. We're going back. So,
great
stadium.
You
know, do you learn anything from the last trip? You're going to apply to this trip?
We're running a fucking marathon before, so I'm going to try not to drink so much brown hooch.
Yeah, it's the dark ale. It's the dark hooch. It will get you. Look, what a podcast. We're rambling here. We're sleep deprived, jet lag. I can feel it, trying to think of what to say. So, you know, we got here. We just wanted to get a quick, hey, we're here. What a bunch of news. What a trip we have planned. Cannot wait. Last game of the season. Let's go. We're going to leave you with a classic. It's Kicking Up Blue.
Kicking Up Blue, baby.
We fought in Spain. We fought in the storm.